This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part. You can be a part. You can be an integral part of this fine production. 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. working the board. Thank you, Jess. Also, some guests for today. Our favorite socialist, Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's going to join us at 4:30. We're going to talk about being radical. I love some radical. Good radical, of course. There is a difference. We'll tell you all
healthy
about
radicals.
It.
Healthy radicals. Isn't that all the rage right now?
Also at 5 o'clock, John Nichols, locally here at the Cap Times, nationally from The Nation magazine. He's going to jump in with us as well. We're going to get caught up with John. And folks, if you're just tuning in now to this fine production, maybe you should check it out a little earlier. Maggie, Dawn, and I, we do a little thing. I come in early with Maggie on Mondays. She stays a little late with me on Tuesdays. Now, on Mondays, we call In Case You Missed It, where Maggie blows my mind with some audio that makes me mad.
Oh.
Not always mad, but it's good
usually.
Stuff. Yes, we can react to it in real time. And of course, on Tuesdays, Maggie will join me 4 to 4:30 for a little overtime with Maggie, Dawn. So make sure you check that out. And if you miss any of the fine shows, make sure you get you can download the Civic Media app from your favorite app store. Check it out. It's super
cool.
That
won't give them the shows that they missed, though. For that, they need to go to the podcast.
Well, you can get the podcast through the app.
No. You can't get it on the app. You got to go online. Oh, go online.
Civicmedia.us.
There we go.
For all the podcasts.
Also Spotify and Apple.
Really? You can't get the podcast
you can't
from
get the
app?
Podcast? Not the
I'm
app.
Not sure
not
about
yet.
All right. All right. All right. Working on it. But anyway, check it out. We got a plethora of ways for you to listen and to engage. All right, so where do we start today? Locally. Let's start locally. Finally,
yeah,
finally, the news
it.
Of the day. Republican Eric Hovde, he concedes.
Hallelujah.
Really? Finally?
Took 2 weeks.
I mean, what was it now? What took you so long? We do have, and he did put out like six minutes. It was long. I think the mustache did most of the talking, but
indeed.
Eric did have some things
indeed.
To say. Let's hear Eric Hovde finally acknowledging his, about 29,000 vote loss mm-hmm. to Senator Tammy Baldwin. Let's start with cut number one.
I'm proud of the campaign we ran and that I focused on issues instead of personal attacks.
Did he?
Well, okay, I don't know in this regard. There's a lot of outside money.
Okay, that's fair.
That throws
that's
in there.
Fair.
I mean, maybe he did stay. You know, I'd have to break them all down. Look, but I did see lots and lots of ads, and maybe not coming from Hovde, but certainly in support of Hovde, reminding us all that Tammy Baldwin's a lesbian. I mean,
right.
And in
uh-huh.
case you missed it, that means she's gay. Yeah. Uh-huh,
my goodness.
Uh-huh. And that means she likes people of her own sex. I mean,
my God,
did you know
what'll
that? Did you know that? Oh, and because they're dating Eric Hovde, or at least maybe some of the supporting groups, wanted Tammy to have her girlfriend disclose their assets because that makes sense.
I don't think that's...
No, that's not how
that's
it's...
Not how
that's
it's,
not, that's
no.
not how it works.
All
well,
right, okay.
Thank you for keeping it focused on the issues. Didn't he also like jump into the lake and when it was cold out and like challenge Tammy to the like ice bucket challenge? What do you... That was a little weird.
Well, I mean, he says that he ran a campaign focused on the issues. I remember looking at his issues page. Do you remember looking at his issues page?
It was pretty sparse.
It was pretty sparse. Pretty sparse, especially compared to Tammy Baldwin's issue page, which was fully fleshed out, had her record on legislation, had the legislation she wants to promote, connected back to Wisconsin time and again. I mean, come on.
Oh, and he did roll out that video where he said he was running for Senate and didn't.
In what?
didn't say what state he's running
Oopsies.
In. That would be Wisconsin, where we are concerned about the farm bill. A couple of things maybe you should, you know, brush up on next time.
How was he supposed to know anything about the farm bill, Dom? He wasn't in the Senate.
I mean, well, maybe if you want to be, you should have some knowledge. No, we'll see what happens when he tries to run for governor next. Anyway, Eric Hubdy conceding to Senator Baldwin. And then, you know, it sounded all great. Focused on the issues, not personal. Well, it's questionable, at least the organizations around you, sir. But let's hear what he had to say on cut number two.
The results from election night were disappointing.
You lost.
Particularly in light of the last-minute absentee ballots that were dropped in Milwaukee at 4 a.m., flipping the outcome.
Oh, Eric.
Yeah, I hate it when those votes are counted.
There are many troubling issues around these absentee ballots and
their
timing, which I addressed in my last statement.
No, there's no issue.
Didn't.
I have heard from numerous supporters urging me to challenge the election results.
Yeah, do it.
However, without a detailed review of all the ballots and their legitimacy, which will be difficult to obtain in the courts, a request for a recount would serve no purpose because you will just be recounting the same ballots regardless of their integrity.
I see.
As a result, and my desire to not add to political strife through a contentious
That's
recount,
to start that
I've decided to concede the election.
Not to add to political strife. Listen, man, we've talked about it a lot, and we'll say it again. Those ballots that are counted, the ballot drop, that happens every time. And the Republicans in the state of Wisconsin had an opportunity. Hell, there was a Republican-Democratic bipartisan bill that they did not advance that would at least allow them to start counting early. This happens. And if you don't know, sir, that that's how it rolls here in Milwaukee, when they finally finish all the absentee ballot counting, and in Milwaukee, it's, you know what, basically 70, 80% Democratic versus Republican. Statistically, you can throw out a guess and be pretty damn close. If you don't know how that works, Eric Hovde, then you are absolutely contributing to the angst of this election, sir. Now, either you are willfully ignorant, which is unacceptable, or you're doing it on purpose to rile people up, also unacceptable. So which one is it? Are you corrupt or just ignorant? I mean, it really pisses me off.
Honestly, I think this is a little column A, a little column B, Dom.
Yeah, but you got to know. You know, everybody knows. That's how it works, Eric Hovde. And while you can say, oh, it was so... Play it again. I want this is the beginning of the part again. This is so annoying.
The results from election night were disappointing.
Yeah, you lost.
Particularly in light of the last-minute absentee ballots that were dropped in Milwaukee at 4 a.m.
Okay, stop that. Those last-minute absentee ballots that were finally counted, finished counting, and registered, not dropped, not brought off a pallet and thrown into the driveway for people to rush out and count. I mean, what are you talking about? This is how it's done, Hovde. So please, please, you care about the elections? Yeah, it sucks that you lost. You know, somebody loses an election every single time. This time it was you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be part of the problem? Then don't say stupid things like that. 855-752-4842. If you have any questions, Eric, I'd be happy to edify you. Let's play the third cut from Hovde's concession. Let's hear it. Cut three.
Sadly, our current political system is broken. Instead of candidates debating issues and addressing voters' concerns, campaigns are now about raising money, often from special interest groups, and launching attack ads with no basis in truth. Equally concerning is the large segments of the press that don't care to fact-check these lies and even help propagate misinformation to protect their preferred candidates.
Is he talking about Fox News, who was like literally settled a defamation lawsuit against Dominion for $700 or $800 million, like that kind of thing?
No.
Or is he talking about like folks like me who said Eric Hovde wants to ban beer?
He might be talking about you.
Oh, it is me. Well, what did Eric Hovde say on
what
the whole
beer?
What
did he say about banning beer?
There was a thing.
There was a thing.
A comment. Man, you know, if I was prepared, I'd have it in,
you
in
do
front
have
of me.
It. It's in your show notes.
It's in my show notes. Yeah. All right. I got this one from the Wisconsin Examiner. I'm sorry, the Washington Examiner. Let's see, Hovde coming under fire. Let's see, in 2017, he criticized alcohol sales, saying booze should only be available to people who brew or distill it themselves. Oh,
that's
okay.
Okay.
So,
up by your bootstraps,
so if you make your own, then it's okay. So it wasn't that he wanted to ban beer. He just wanted to stop the commercialization, the sale.
So.
Of
yeah,
beer.
Right.
So no sailing.
Not ban beer.
No.
Just ban beer sales.
Right.
In
so
Wisconsin.
You can do that. You can go, but good luck, Miller, Molson, Coors. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many little breweries? Are you kidding me? So, okay, you didn't want to ban beer. People can have their own beer, but you can't go out and sell it. You can't go out and buy it.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't seem very capitalistic to me. The full quote in context of decriminalizing marijuana. So he says, so if we just decriminalize marijuana, fine. Nobody is going to go to jail. No one's going to get arrested for it. That's your self-determination. But you're not going to turn it into an enterprise. Frankly, it should have happened with alcohol. What? Hmm. He goes on. I mean, look at alcohol has a lot of negative byproducts. If somebody wanted to distill it, drink it, fine, go ahead. But sadly, as we know, it's produced a lot of negative byproducts as a part of society. I don't think adding more negative byproducts to society is a healthy thing. And saying that, I think the horse is out of the barn. It's going to be hard to put it back. There's so many. Let's talk about sugar. You know,
lots of negative health outcomes.
You know, I mean, fatty foods.
Uh-huh.
I mean, sodas. I mean, what are we talking about? There's lots of things that are out there. And if you're going to talk about self-determination, then how could you possibly be against anything? I think that stuff being illegal, sir. So you literally said you don't want it sold. Don't want it commercialized. You want people to do it themselves. And what if people don't have the resources to do it themselves? Now you're just SOL?
Mm-hmm.
But if people want to make their own, that it's fine with all the negative byproducts. You can do it to yourself, but isn't that what you do when you buy it and drink it, according to Eric Hovde?
But then you haven't put in the work. You haven't earned it.
Oh, haven't earned it. We were celebrating my brother-in-law's 50th birthday again, still. It's been like a month now. It's been a lot of fun.
Good.
And we were talking, you know, telling kids stories about when we were younger, and he was telling a story when he brewed his own beer at the house that him and my wife used to live at when they were younger. And he put some sugar in, and then he apparently put in some, like, maple syrup, and didn't account for it. So then he put it in, like, the back closet, and everything blew up, and there was beer all over everything, and that ended his brewing career. But according to Hovde, that's the only way you get your beer, folks. So the news today, Eric Hovde finally concedes, but, you know, elections and money and all the problems. Oh, I think the biggest part he really had an issue with was losing. Now we can move on. Maybe he'll run for governor.
Oh, God.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey J.K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, is going to join me at the bottom of the hour. And we got a lot of texters and some phone callers joining in as well. We'll get to you right now. Andrew from Maine, what does he say here? So the 266 craft breweries in Wisconsin would have to close since they would not be allowed to sell it, thus not make any money to pay for said brewery and the $2.4 billion economic impact. Who needs that, right? Well, Andrew, I don't know the math, but you're writing it. I guess I'll accept it. Yeah, man. You literally said that. You, in the context of legalizing marijuana, which of course should be. I'm not clear what he had to say about it. I think he was kind of for it-ish.
He was kind of ambivalent about it. He was kind of like, fine. He was definitely on the side of like decriminalization. So, you know, all this time in California had an impact.
It's smoking. It's smelling all that freedom, man. So, but it was in the context of the conversation regarding a legal recreational and, of course, commercial cannabis is when he threw out the, well, you know, it's out of the bag and we probably should never have it happen with alcohol, but basically it's too late now and here we go. Well, okay. Now, could you summarize that and say you want to ban beer? Well, ban the commercial sale of beer?
No.
I guess that's a little more clarity, so... I'll correct the record. If I ever said Hovde wanted to ban beer, I apologize. Hovde wanted to ban commercial beer. You could only have beer if it was brewed by you and only you, not mom, not dad, not your neighbor. No, no giving of the beer. There will be no selling or the buying of the beer. But if you make your own, Hovde says it's okay.
I mean, on the one hand, the ads kind of pulled their punches. They could have said that he wanted to ban the sale of all booze.
Right. I mean, that would have been...
They only said he wanted to ban beer.
Right. Yeah, what about, you know, distilled? Yeah. How do you feel about that?
How do you feel about losing your old fashions, Wisconsin?
Hey. None of that. We will not have that heresy on this show. What's happening here? 855.
That's what I'm saying. They pulled their punches.
855-752-4842. Well, you know, now how do you want to go back to California? I mean, it is that time
fine.
Of year.
He'll be fine.
It's warmer there.
It's getting cold.
Well, maybe he'll jump in that lake again. He really wanted Tammy to jump in the lake. I mean, God, so strange. That was really a strange. I mean, that was just strange.
It was a strange campaign. Yeah. It was weird.
It was weird. And I got to tell you, that mustache, I guess maybe it's the mustache.
It's mostly the mustache.
I got to wash that thing.
You do.
You know, I mean, something that big, it gets all that stuff in there. Oh, okay. What else we got? 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you will be first on the lines today. Welcome, sir. Happy Monday. What do you got for us?
Happy Monday. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Hovde gives a concession, non-concession, and whining about something that could have been corrected if our Republicans and our legislature would have just said, count the votes as they come in. Then there wouldn't be this issue.
Well, you know, and that's a great point. I'll let you continue, Mark. But, you know, if he would have come out and said, you know what, the late night vote tabulation, because of the circumstance, because of the legislation that they can't start at before 7 a.m. on election day. That's problematic. I think it's problematic. I call on the Wisconsin Republican legislature to pass the bipartisan bill. I believe that came out of the Senate or the House, one or the other. I think it came out of the Assembly. But he didn't do that. And in the same effort of trying to, you know, not cause any angst about the election, throws that crap out there, Mark.
Yeah, it's certainly he just calls in question the elections again, which the winners are, you know, that I'm surprised Trump hasn't just said, well, this proves that our elections work, and he hasn't said that. But to get into a different point that I got today, I just got my copy of The American Hunter, which is the alternative magazine from the NRA, and the advertising they have on the front of it, you know, the throwaway cover they have on the front of it is, buy one silencer, get one free. So... I you know, then this is for 22 rifles, and they have a quite a little sharp retort. And if you're target shooting, you know, wear your hearing protection. But this whole putting silence out there on everything now, because they've been doing that for several years now. And
you can't shoot in the living room, man. If you don't have a silencer, it's too loud. Yes, there's a lot of, gun porn. I don't know. I mean, I got guns. I'm just not that into it, I guess. 855-752-4842. Let's squeeze in Joe from Mequon before Harvey K joins us at the bottom of the hour. Hey, Joe, happy days. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, basically, I'm listening to you talk about the Baldwin election, and yet you don't talk very much about the candidate that was fronted by Democratic offers as spoiler against Eric Cumbie. Why don't you just be honest and run your candidate why do you have to be deceptive like that?
Well, and Joe, no, I get it, but let me push back on that a little bit. Specifically, he talked about the hardcore guy who said he was involved in trying to kidnap the governor of Michigan. Okay, he got like 29,000-30,000 votes, something like that. But my pal Phil Anderson from the Libertarian side, man, he got more votes than that. And neither of these folks had to run. And none of the voters had to vote for them. So, I mean, I get it. You know, that happens. I was just saying this, though, Joe. That happens on the Republican side, and it happens on the Democratic side. And it's not the only time it's happened. It's going to continue to happen. I mean, I'm personally not a fan, but if people want to, you know, you want to go vote for the Libertarian guy, is that going to, if you get a mailer from somebody, that's going to change your mind, Joe?
Well, you're comparing apples to oranges on that. As a Libertarian, if he wants to run, fine. I'm talking about having Democratic operatives fund a candidate to run to take.
Yeah, you know, I get it. Well, how is
that's a very big difference.
A big difference how? Because why? I mean, the advertising wasn't in support of Phil Anderson, and the advertising wasn't in support for the other right winger, right?
That's not correct at all. I think if you want to run as an independent candidate, that's fine. But I don't think you take Democratic operatives with the stated intended purpose to try and take votes away from the Republican candidate while they're Democrats. These aren't independent.
But the candidate, Joe, was not a Democrat, and that's the big difference. I get what you're saying. I get it. I'm not a fan of it. But, hell, if I'm running and Republicans or Democrats or independents or Libertarians are giving me money, I'm taking it, Joe. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from UWGB, coming next.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell to be joined by my friend Harvey J.K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, happy days. Welcome back, man.
Happy days. Listen to you.
Yeah, man, it's happy days. All right, Professor of Democracy, I wanted to throw something out there, and you had some. We're going to get into. We got to get you for a couple of segments. We're going to get into lots of topics today, but we just had a caller from the Mequon area. It's one of the Wow counties down here, Harvey, and he was lamenting, as was Eric Hovde, who finally conceded his Wisconsin senatorial race to Tammy Baldwin today. During his concession, and he has brought this up a few times, Hovde has. Lamenting the fact that there's this, quote, phony America First candidate, Thomas Leager, L-E-A-G-E-R, a former lobbyist for the Wisconsin Gun Owners, Inc., who was apparently funded or backed by some out-of-state Dems. And this guy got some votes, and Eric Hovde's mad that those probably should have gone to him. And of course, Phil Anderson, the Libertarian, he got votes too. And there are apparently some advertising done in support of the Libertarian candidate that maybe Phil was not aware of. But he got a bunch of votes. And if all those people would have voted for him, he'd have won. Harvey, I'm not a big fan of the playing the games thing like that. And as we were thinking through the break, it reminds me of the Kanye West when he ran in 2020. You know, he's a Trump buddy. He's trying to pull off African-American votes from Donald Trump. But I don't hear Joe from Mequon, you know, lamenting about that. So what's your sense on this kind of, you know, kind of fringe on the edges game playing with these elections?
Well, I don't actually know to what extent this guy, this, what's the guy's name who was the third party,
Thomas Leger, L-E-A-G-E-R.
I don't know what deal he cut with billionaires or whoever else paid him to do that. But it's always striking to me that a guy like Hovde would be the first to bellyache and the first to complain and truly lament the state of American democracy. Okay. And yet, he'd probably vote against election law reform and control of monies, and Citizens United, he probably thinks was a great decision, if he knows what it's about. I mean, it's you know, crybaby at this moment. But let me say, I mean, there's a lot wrong with our election system, yeah, and our political system. That wasn't a defense of the system. It's just, look, how about this? How about Elon Musk offering to buy, to pay people to sign a petition? I mean, right, or something like that, okay?
Totally, I mean, fine. That seems totally legit, Harvey. That's how it should be done. No, so obviously, lots of problems. But, and I get the deceit part if the guy
didn't.
But I will
say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, fortunately, whatever went wrong in this election, and we came out okay, sort of okay in Wisconsin, even though we lost,
yeah,
at the presidential level. But it is the fact that it's interesting that Wisconsinites have it in themselves to vote more than by pulling a lever and having all one or the other. In other words, even though Trump won Wisconsin by not very much, it's the case that a lot of those people must also have voted in Democrats, is my sense. I don't have the full breakdown. And especially I like the fact that when folks who spend more of their time out of state and have accumulated vast sums of money decide they'll either come home to Wisconsin or I don't know, marry someone in Wisconsin for all I know, that and then declare for office, that Wisconsinites figure this is not acceptable. I mean, at least the majority, not acceptable. So, you know, I mean, I am so happy Hovde lost. That's all I can say.
Folks,
you know, I would listen to the, every time I listened to the guy, I thought, what has become of Wisconsin politics? And we even have to listen to this kind of thing. Now, admittedly, this was the state of Joe McCarthy, undeniably. Okay. But it's been a long time since Joe McCarthy.
Yeah, Joe McCarthy, Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, we got a lot of things that out of the state here. Harvey
Look,
Kay.
In my opinion, I'd throw Scott Walker into the mix.
Yeah, but I mean, let's keep going. 855-752-4842. Appreciate you entertaining my thoughts on that. Your comments. Yeah, I got a piece out when David Brooks goes Bernie bro. Now, this longtime conservative New York Times columnist is going Bernie bro. I mean, I Harvey, what's going on in this world, man? Tell me what you mean.
Okay, well, let's start off with this, just if I can recount what I know of David Brooks. And I let me start off by saying something on here I don't think I've ever said, told publicly, other than to people who know me well. And that is that I actually, I didn't mention this last week in any way, did I? That David Brooks and I were for a while friends?
No.
Yeah, back in the late 90s, there was a fellow who was a senior editor, an editor at the Weekly Standard, which was Bill Kristol's magazine, neoconservative magazine. Basically, it was owned by Rupert Murdoch and run by Bill Kristol. But there was a guy there who called me to ask me about something regarding a group of intellectuals in Britain, the British Marxist historians. And I had basically written the book on them. And oddly enough, this guy and I got along pretty well, the one who called me, in spite of his being a conservative. And this went on for some time. I would ask his opinion and stuff, and we would exchange these kinds of
things. Yeah, that's what it's all about, man.
And he said, hey, when you come to Washington, which I did every so often because I have family down there, not to mention my representatives are down there. He said, let me buy you brunch. So we went to this really nice brunch place in Georgetown. And he said to me, you know, next time you come, I want you to meet my friend David Brooks, who is another sort of editor and writer. I said, yeah, that'd be fun. Well, it wasn't as soon as I expected, but we went to lunch with David Brooks. And one of the first things I said to Brooks was, you know, I do follow the Weekly Standard. I think I was getting comped. The magazine was sending it to me free. Right. And I said, I have to say to you, the one thing I can't get over is you ask great questions when you write, but you always come up with the wrong answers. And he laughed and all that. But we kind of became friendly. And then before he left the Weekly Standard, he brought out a book which became New York Times number one bestseller, Bobos in Paradise, which was his amazingly entertaining book about the sort of young urban professionals and the monies they spend to set out their, you know, to adorn their homes, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter to go into detail. So just before the book came out, I said to David, hey, why don't you come? This was in the spring of 2000. Why don't you come to Green Bay? You could speak at the university and, you know, we have a chance to talk and all that. And by the way, I had EJ Dion and David Brooks back-to-back.
Yeah, nice.
And they were buddies because they were both doing the National Public Radio commentary.
Okay.
So Brooks came. We had a really good time. But one of the things I said to him is, David, really, I love the questions you ask. And for example, back in the 90s, he asked about America's, the whole question of national greatness, because he was really worried that conservatives, Republican conservatives, and the ruling class of the day, he was very blunt in the language he used, was basically forgetting that America had a mission. And he was challenging them to behave like American elites are supposed to behave. People who believe in an American mission. It doesn't matter that David and I saw the mission as different, but the point was. And then I remember I wrote an article about that, and I said, in the end, I said, well, David, they answered your question, okay? This was eventually where this came up several years later. They eventually answered your question. Bush took us into Iraq. How's that for a mission?
Yeah, right.
It was that kind of thing. Then another thing that he asked, which, because he really always did ask good questions. Another one he asked is, what is America for? Which was kind of like, how come Americans have a need to understand what this country is about, and they should be able to embrace it and be proud of it and advance it and all of that. And I thought, this is really good. But the problem is that he always came up with a wrong answer. I mean, his answer had to do nothing with, you know, the fight for liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or all men are created equal. It was a totally conservative kind
getting
of answer.
Paid, yo. That's what America's for.
Yeah, I guess. And then he came up with a series of pieces, which we could summarize in terms of, oh, before I forget, the other thing was, I'll read people what I actually said about Brooks on that, what is America for? How could David Brooks possibly appreciate and write informatively of America's purpose and promise? The promise inscribed in our historical memory and imagination by Thomas Paine's Common Sense, Jefferson's Declaration, the Founders' Preamble to the Constitution, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, FDR's Four Freedoms, and King's I Have a Dream. How could he appreciate the promise that inspired not just a Revolutionary War, but also generations of Americans to struggle to expand the we and we the people and the democratic process through which we the people can genuinely govern? And then he got into the set of pieces, which basically asked, because now he was really getting worried. He was worried about Trump because he's a neoconservative. He became a never Trumper? Is
okay.
That what those guys
yep.
became?
Yep.
So he asked this series of questions. The question in a series of pieces. What are we supposed to do about Trump? Because he diagnosed that the problem in America was the class divide,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, and that to me, spoke directly to me and the stuff I'm interested in. But what he said is, we need to get out and meet each other. So he said, I'll commit myself to going out and discovering those other people, basically. And so that one I answered in terms of, we don't need national therapy. We need we need radical action.
We might also need national therapy.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Radical? Talk to me about the radical.
So hold on. Well, here's the thing. So then the piece I wrote this past week was because within 24 hours after the election, the presidential election, he came out with a piece which basically said, voters to elites, do you see me now?
Yeah.
He was saying, and he was really emphasizing the problem of class division in this country. But he went a step further in that piece. To make the long story short, he said, maybe Bernie Sanders was right. Yeah. He said, maybe we should do the kinds of things Bernie called for, even if it would make people like me feel uncomfortable. That's me, meaning David Brooks himself. So I said, whoa, this is like, whoa, you know, it's like really major shift here. So I asked the question, you know, when does, you know, David Brooks go Bernie bro? When he goes Bernie, what's going on here, right? And it's basically the case that I said, he's not a Bernie bro, okay? But you know what? In the world in which we are right now, it would be damn good to have David Brooks talk to the middle of the road, Republicans and Democrats, about the need for really progressive action. There you go.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, we just got about 90 seconds left in this segment. We're going to stick you around for another segment. Tom Hartman also had a piece out recently talking about class. And I think if you look at the way the results came in of the election, it seemed to break down more on class. At least my impression is that it wasn't, you know, you wouldn't think the Hispanic voter, the Black voter, you know, however you want to break down those kind of groups. It wasn't that. It seemingly to me, it was more class. And I guess I'm curious to know, okay, if we recognize in this class, and when it comes out of class, I think it comes down to money. That's really what I think you're breaking people into different revenue, different earned income groups. How does that get addressed? And what is the gap? I mean, if you're talking about, you know, $1 million plus versus $1 million a year plus versus someone who's living on, you know, $20,000 a year, how do we get those groups and those folks to recognize and see things the same? Hell, even the what was the tax margin for Kamala Harris? She's not going to raise taxes for anybody over $400,000 a year. That's still a lot of money, man. You know, there's folks that aren't making
for
that.
People under.
I'm sorry, under $400,000 a year. She'd raise them for people over.
Trump will not raise taxes to anyone making more than $400,000.
Well, and the headline now that I'm seeing from the Washington Post, Republicans are looking at Medicaid and food stamps because, you know, you can't continue to cut the taxes and increase the debt. You got to do something on the expense side. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. More with Harvey Kay and you as well. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey J.K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay. Sticking around for one more segment. You can join us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert and fan here, and I saw your tweet from yesterday. I hope I never again hear a Dem say I'm a capitalist. Rather, I look forward to hearing them say I'm an FDR Democrat. And like FDR in 1930, quote, there is no question in my mind that it is time for the country to become fairly radical for at least one generation, unquote. Harvey, how does that quote from FDR apply to today, and what does it mean to you?
Okay, well, first thing to do, let's not forget that FDR is running for president around 1930, he is running for president, 1932. And that remark is from 1930. So that was really a to him, he looked around at America in the middle of the Great Depression, and he was fully aware of what was going on in Europe with the rise of fascism. And he was convinced that based on the fact that history in the United States was the Revolution and the Civil War, if you're confronting a threat to the American promise, you have got to go radical. So in 1776, they declared independence, okay, and eventually set up the makings of a democratic republic. Lincoln, confronted by the secession of the South and basically what was going on in the military sector, you know, along the border between North and South, he basically said, We know what we have to do. This is a famous speech of his. Fellow Americans, we know what we have to do. The whole world knows what we must do. And basically what he does is he explains that that it was time to bring an end to slavery. And the Civil War in some ways was a second American Revolution in that respect. Well, FDR, thinking of the Depression and thinking of the threat of fascism, and there were fascist forces in the United States as well. In fact, the editors of Vanity Fair magazine actually said, maybe we could use a Mussolini to help lead us out of this depression. The president of the American Political Science Association said, who knows what America will become? Maybe it'll become fascist. Maybe it'll become communist. So the point is, FDR figured if you're going to save democracy, you've got to make dramatic changes. And when he ran for president, he laid out, contrary to what many historians have said, he actually laid out a fairly radical agenda. It was going to include such things as Social Security. It was going to include initiatives at major public works projects to put people to work and to modernize the American public, what they call that, the superstructure of the United States, roads, bridges, tunnels. I mean, if you look across the United States, it's an amazing it's an amazing legacy that he left us.
Absolutely. Anyhow,
so his point is you mobilize Americans. You put them to work. You engage them in the process of modernizing and transforming America, and you empower them, which is why he ends up signing into law first in 33 and then later, especially in 35, laws that would empower workers to organize. And they created the National Labor Relations Board to stand behind workers' efforts, not to mediate, but to stand behind workers' efforts. Then this is something people don't realize. In 1934, he actually did this a number of times through his 12 years as president. He decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life. He called on Congress to cap wealth and incomes, at least at that time. And the way
sounds like history's repeating itself, Harvey Kane.
The problem is that the Democrats have not done that. We thought they might do it in 2020 because Bernie and Biden kind of got it together and they set out an agenda together. But it is the case that Biden was stymied by people in his own party. And then he did do make some changes, but not at all to the extent of a New Deal, but he had a hard time doing that. America, now, I don't think Americans voted to slash the budget by trillions of dollars. I don't think they voted to slash the taxes on the rich, which is, again, a likely possibility.
I mean, I hate to tell you, though, Harvey, I think Trump was talking about it, and maybe they did. Hey, let me squeeze in a caller here real quick before we run out of time. We got 2 minutes.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, you're on with Harvey. I know you got something about the Economic Bill of Rights. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Harvey, as you know, I am a proud FDR Democrat, and I want to know when it is that we're going to get a candidate that is actually going to speak not in terms of first off, everyone needs to learn who FDR is, and shame on us for not knowing who he was. But second, we just need to have a candidate come out and say, I am going to fulfill the second Economic Bill of Rights of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That's what we need.
Thank you, Tom. Harvey, do you have a candidate in mind, and do you think that's coming anytime soon?
Well, Bernie did do that, okay? And the shame is that Bernie didn't do what I said we needed a candidate to do, say, I am an FDR Democrat. He made it a point of saying, I'm a democratic socialist. Most Americans' heads turned if they even understood the term. So I think it's a possibility. I think there are folks on the horizon. There are political figures who I've spoken to. The problem is they have yet to fully come out in favor of an economic bill of rights. So hard for me to say, but I ain't stopping. I'm going to keep pushing.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. You can find him on Twitter at Harvey J K. That's K-A-Y-E. Harvey, thanks again for coming around. You are my favorite radical, my favorite democratic socialist, my favorite FDR Democrat. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We'll talk real soon.
Thank you for having me. You bet.
My pleasure. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Stick around. Our pal John Nichols from the Cap Times and from The Nation, he's going to check in as well. Time that we kill keeps us alive. When we build these dreams on sand, how they all slip through our hands. And this might be our own.
Let's take this one day at a time. I'll hold your hand if you hold mine. The time that we kill keeps us alive.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.